To enjoy this and other great episodes on Patreon, check out the link in the description and subscribe via the Black Kluge tier for full access to over 100 exclusive episodes. For those of you who would like some QF swag on TeePublic, t-shirts, magnets, mugs, what have you, also click on the link in the description.
Would you pretend that I am Bahati? I'm sitting here, I'm going to be honest with you, it's hot in the garage, I'm wearing a bra top, and I only have panties on, I'm being honest.
Can you go a little slower? Just talk about it.
Do you have underwear on under that robe?
I do. That's all I have on, though.
Oh, my God. You're in your garage. You're in your garage. Bahati is... I'm Bahati. You leave it alone. You know what? You're doing just fine. I should only look like you. All right. So I'm Bahati. We're in the garage. I'm bathed. I'm moisturized. I've completely shaven for you. And I'm sitting here listening to my husband.
Gross.
I've had dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Donald many times. Not at the same table. But he would come over. He would give me a tour of Mar-a-Lago. I've been there. I told you. It's like heaven. Oh, it's hot. I just burned my mouth. dry oatmeal. I need one.
What? Oh.
Run it. Where you could just put them in your ear and, like, they'd be Bluetooth or something?
Because I need to... I can't even afford to buy socks anymore, you know?
No. Well, all right. Well, hey, I'm glad to hear you're doing okay, and I have my routine. And the days go so fast because I just sit in my room and entertain myself, like when I was a little boy.
Time means nothing.
Yeah, no such thing as time. If I didn't have to shower and eat, I'd just sit in that room. I'm telling you, it's that narcissism where you think the whole world revolves around you and you're entitled to do whatever you want. But, you know, when you're a football player and you're used to being catered to and you're the most famous football player in the world, you can get caught up in that. And then when your wife says, hey, you know, you need to take the garbage out and drive the kids to school, you get resentful and you go, don't you know who I am? You know?
I can't get that image of your dad playing piano with you on your with you on his lap. It's just, I don't usually feel stuff, so this never happens to me.
Welcome, ladies and gents, back to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Phil Moore, a.k.a. Jim Fix, back on terra firma. I got my setup as it should be, and we're here with the smashing, ever-effervescent, and ravishing, because I can say that because Rick Brood is no longer with us, Mr. Jay Santi. How are you today, sir?
Yeah, it could trickle back down to me. I was originally ravishing at one point, but today I'll be going, since the theme... it's funny because I was thinking about this ahead of time, and it so happens the theme of today. I will be going as Jay, the marker in Fred's mouth, doing the Baba Booey impression, Santi.
Perfect. We had a couple. We're still mulling. We're not mulling. We're going to do another episode based on the Stuttering John recent documents that have come out about his. They were public. They were made public record. This isn't us, you know, trying to dig into his life and make it worse than it already is. It's established. This is old news. But I wanted to tie it into an older episode, so we're going to do that next time. But for today, guys, we're going to record an ep with using an episode from Howard TV, April 25th, 2007. Wiggy's pissed off at Gary because he played some clips on the wrap-up show without his say-so, which, okay, fair enough. I mean, you could say this is all manufactured shit, but it just goes to show you Gary is a complete retard when it comes to producing this show. Because, and I know a lot of it is just down to fear. Like, sometimes he doesn't know and he's taking a guess and he's hoping for the best.
Well, the other thing is that it's sometimes that on the wrap-up show, they just run out of material. And they figure, like, hey, you know, we'll throw this on the grill and fry it up. And, you know, Howard's not going to care about it because, you know, he's not paying attention to anything. But once again, he tends to forget who he works for and his history. We're already at the point of time that this is happening. He's already, 30 years in with him? And he still doesn't get it.
No. So is he stupid? Is he in denial? Because the thing is, you'd think, I think this was you're trying to drive at, he should be able to predict exactly what Howard would do given any situation. Like he, but I think the problem is it, Howard's like a marble. He doesn't know which way he's going to fall.
You would think that, pun intended, that he's a trained monkey, but he's not. He's really not. And once again, and I also believe that it's those thoughts as well that he believes that he could do things on his own, or believe that there's going to be a world outside of the Stern universe once it's done. So he's trying to test the waters. That's why he would do the Gadget Gary stuff and the Sonos things and all that, and the Nerdist things. So this is the kind of things that he figures or believes that he could be able to manufacture outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other one, I was going to ask you if you'd like to cover this one at a future date, although I don't know, because maybe it's too much of the same thing over and over again. But when Bowie gets caught sleeping and they film it for Howard TV and he starts arguing with DePace, and it goes to show exactly what kind of a duplicitous asshole Gary is. And then just a cowardly fuck. Instead of owning up and saying, look, I fell asleep, I should be shutting my fucking mouth, I was caught sleeping on the job. DePace, you know, because I know people don't like DePace. A lot of people don't like DePace. And I'm not one of his biggest fans either. But I thought that was a moment of brilliance from the Howard TV crew.
Yeah, I think we can. We could chop up a lot of it because a lot of it is
repetitive
and repetitive and such. But at the same time, yeah, they're at both sides. When I first heard it, both sides were at fault. And it was like, all right, just call it a draw, guys. All right, let's walk away from this. But that lasted a week. That whole conversation lasted a week.
Big time, yeah. So anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead with this one, and we hope you enjoy it.
I just had a blowout with Gary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a little pissed off at him. Because on the wrap-up show yesterday, he's playing bits I haven't played because I haven't played them fast enough for him. So he wanted to give an example of a bit. But like I said, Gary, when do you ever do that? What am I, on a timetable? I mean, if I don't get to something within a week, I get the shit on?
He had decided that you had were never going to play that.
Yeah. So he started arguing with me, and I said, Gary, what's the argument? You know the rule. I'm glad we know now. I go, no, you've known that for... You just stop it. Enough of the wrap-up show, then. Enough. It's done. Over.
Well, it's not gonna be over anytime. So it's a fucking pointless threat because you need that to pad out your fucking day, shithead. Number one. Number two, if there are rules in place, Gary would have known about this and not played anything on the wrap-up show that he didn't want him to. That's where I get kind of irritated at this, because nothing's delineated. We know that this fucking office runs like a bunch of mice looking for that one vat that holds cocaine instead of cheese. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's the old saying? That office runs like a Swiss car.
I was gonna, you know, like when we did the Gary versus Tracy thing, and you know, the refrigerator saga, and then I after the fact, I think she went on that ST Weekly guy years later, obviously, and she did an interview with him, and she said that Gary didn't speak to her for 3 months afterwards.
Yeah, and that's typical of him, because we've heard of those stories that happened with Lewis, was the one that came out and said that he didn't like Gary. But he's surprised that people either don't like him, or people find that he's a Nimrod and that they find him incompetent. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, when the whole Mossy Turk thing happened, that I was shocked that they actually did the power move and demoted him in some way or form, because they had been dealing with his ridiculousness for all those years. And it's towards the end of where the Stern, I guess, legacy happens, where we're changing over, in which now you're putting someone else in place. And look how that's turned out.
Well, the other thing is, you got a point. I mean, that was kind of shocking that they did that, and that Gary was cucked throughout the whole thing, because that whole thing was a fuck you to Gary, really, more than anything else. But it was also a fuck you to the entire staff, for like, you know, let's task you to do things you've not been hired to do and we won't pay you for, or that you're capable. You're not even capable of doing, possibly. But the other thing is, if he must have rationalized, I need Gary for some content, So I can't, I don't want to let him go, but I do need to cut off his testicles, what little testicle he has left, so that I can give it to someone who will be a little bit more, I guess, organized, basically. And that place, as chaotic as it needed to be, it had to have some kind of organization. And Gary just clearly would constantly, like, he was always one fuck up away from getting yelled at, like, every day, it seems.
Well, the other aspect of it too is, like, when you guys covered it, was that when they had the TED talk of the revamping of the Stern Show, that he asked the question of, does that mean that she's my boss? That's not a question that you say in an open forum. That's a question that you reserve for, you know, private quarters, when you pull Stern to the side and you go, hey, you know, what does this mean for my position? You say this openly?
It's not business 101, and most people looking at that summit thing will tell you, like, there were people arguing for it. There are people that are saying, like, no, he's doing a good thing, you know. And then most people with brains in their heads, and even people with MBAs, are saying, like, no, this is not how you do a TED talk to your fucking staffers to get them to perform, and through right. fear and all this stuff. So anyway, so Bowie's based on, it's based on fear for Bowie, but again, I think deep down inside he knows, as long as Bowie's fucking up, I got more content. And that's the overriding form. It's like how Stuttering John was a useless tit on the show, but he was good for some aspect of the air.
I think if there was an opportunity where we would take Bowie and, like, put him in the same kind of world with canines, he would be the dog that would pee when their owner walked into the room, knowing that something
oh, yeah.
he did was wrong, and he'll just pee just out of fear.
I think so, yeah.
Wrap-up show. I said, just don't go in and invade my shit. You know, I'm like crazed out of my mind, though, and I fixate, you know, and then I can't let go of something.
Right. We had a saying in AA about drinking and drugs. Don't admit it. Don't deny it. Stop it.
Right.
No argument.
What pissed me off is you acted like you didn't know that's the rule.
Well, what are the bits that they used to, you know, because it was sort of like, you know, they used to have bits that yeah. were...
Bits Howard wouldn't play?
Right.
Yeah, well, they would come to me and say, here's some bits that you're not using. Do you mind if we use them on the Friday show? And I'd say, no.
All right. I don't know if you've seen this already, but this is where she annoys me, because she's feigning ignorance here.
Yes.
And you're going to hear it down the line, guys, but she knows what the fuck happened that day. Mm-hmm. And now she's acting as though, like, oh, what happened? So, yeah, this pisses me off.
This is her as Iago the parrot in Aladdin. Right. Right.
What do you mean about the bits that were not going to be played?
Guys, he does impressions and turnbuckle tabloid. What more can you ask for?
No problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm never going to use those. The grandpa pizza clip that Sal's been busting my ass to get on, I just kind of keep there. And when I feel like playing it, I play it.
Okay.
You know, I'm actually glad to, I like to try to keep at least 5 to 10 things in the chamber, so to speak, in case I need them.
Okay.
You know, if I need to take a break or I feel like I want to just play a bunch of things in a row. You know,
they're looting the reserves.
I've got my madness.
So do you think it's, and because we know how scripted the show is now in 2024, right. 2023, go, et cetera. Do you think before they get into this at some point, or she has a note on her thing, like, or did he tell her in advance, look, we're going to talk about this, back me up? Or does she just know by a lot of times she knows? But yeah. I think if she says it likes that. You know, sort of out of left field, it seems more likely that she was forewarned.
So you mean to tell me that she didn't get a private message on Moldred? She didn't.
No, possibly not. So anyway, we'll continue with this one, guys.
Yeah, they looted my vault, so to speak, because I didn't do it fast enough for Gary. He goes, well, I'm just looking to make it interesting on the wrap-up show. I go, no. I don't care about the wrap-up show.
I'm just sorry. I just a quick thing. I know it's a little off, but all the stuff that he's done with technology, or like Moldred and all, have you ever heard anyone in the existence of business or anyone in the universe use these apps? maps or pieces of what was the one for his phone that it like fire it was something that it would be his answering service.
Well, they're not created. I think it's just what he calls them. Like, and I am, like, do you remember the old days of DOS? Like, we used to have IMs that were really, like, you know, really low rent.
Right.
You know, it looked like asteroids or something, you know. but they worked, and we used them to just send notes to people. And actually, we had it in keyboarding class. Like, we started with the electric typewriters, and then finally we got computers. These computers, like, they you know, those old computers look like if you dropped it on somebody from 4 inches away, it would destroy their head. But they then later on, you had all kinds of internal memo systems that they create for businesses. And I think he decided to call it Muldred because that was a Frank Zappa reference. Wasn't it?
All right. I don't know. It's like these things that I've heard him. He brings up. And like I remember in the early days that like they were on Prodigy for like 5 years, and it was already moved on to like AOL and stuff. And I'm like, he's either thinks that he's ahead of the curve or he's behind in the times. Like he was on Blackberries when already the Apple III was out. It was
like, no kidding. Yeah. And like bragging about the stiletto and all that bullshit. The best, my favorite was them talking up the stiletto when like no one had, like some people, obviously if people needed to subscribe and they didn't want a big ass boom box, they would opt for something smaller. But most everybody at that time was, you know, they were rocking their iPods, you know, they were Zune, you know, anything. iRiver.
The craziest thing is the Sirius app to this day, and I hear people talk about it. It's the most shittiest app that anyone ever uses. Like I go on iHeart, I go on Odyssey, I go to any other app, and they run perfect, effortlessly. But Sirius always has problems.
TuneIn is my favorite, my go-to for just like just getting radio feed, and from all over the world. Even I've got some channels programmed in, news channels, whatever, and it's never failed me. The only time it fails me is when it goes needs update. This one won't update. Well, it's because I cracked this one and I didn't get the full pro too cheap to do that. So I get the latest updated cracked version. But with Sirius, I never had the experience. You guys in the audience will have to tell us along with Jay, like your experience using Sirius. So did you have a stiletto back in the day or no?
No, I used to pirate the show. I had a website that I would go on that. Like I said, I always found a way to go through. I wasn't always the clean cut guy that you know on the show these days, guys.
on the up and up.
Yeah, you know, I was on the up. You know, I wasn't always on that. You know, I was getting stuff from the back of a truck. So I would always find places, but then one, you know, I caved in. They gave a deal, and I was like, you know, let me. And it was like the first run of the app, and of course, I always knew there was going to be hiccups. But after 3 years, we were still dealing with the same hiccup. I was like, oh, God, no, I'm cutting this shit off.
Sounds like a podcast we know. but either way, I digress. Yeah, you guys will have to tell us your experiences and specifically QFers with the hardware. Try to specify what type of Sirius hardware you had if you had it back in the day. What was the name? Like, was it the Stiletto 2? How shitty was it? Was it good? If it was a good experience, tell us. I'd like to know, honestly, all sides of it, please.
It's irrelevant, the wrap-up show. I mean, really, you're fucking freaking me out.
First of all, Howard, it's not... you focus on this thing and like as if it wasn't about whether you play...
No, so you don't understand.
But hold on, can I just make a point?
How many years are you working with me?
First of all, it wasn't about whether you play this stuff fast enough or not. It was about how the guys freak out and nag me that you're not getting
fine.
This stuff.
Talk
and
about
and
it.
And we did talk about all
good.
That. And that was, we all sort of agreed, and if we're wrong, I'm sorry, we all agreed that that was a bit that you had decided not to play.
No, that was never, ever discussed.
In fact, Sal said he saw you take it off your page.
I took it off, and I said to him, Sal, in the next hour, remind me.
I'm not, Howard, I swear to you, I'm not.
Gary, are you my producer or not?
Okay. I love this. I'm gonna.
And I know, it's like... He averages at least one of these a month. You would think that we could you know maybe knock it to maybe once every 3 months. No, he does this off like so often. If you had an evaluator guy like this, and when it came to their year-end evaluation, what would you put for efficiency?
would he be Milton in Office Space? I mean, would he last as long as Milton did?
You know, people keep taking my stapler. I gotta keep getting my stapler.
That's a perfect, perfect Milton, by the way. Just flawless, like a fucking 4D carat, 24 carat, whatever, 15, whatever, 5 carat diamond. I think that, yeah, with Gary, he's, it's just, he, we've proven with Mary, we've proven with Stuttering John, we've proven with just about anybody in his life, he folds like a lawn chair as soon as he's confronted. So Richard and Sal, they're two guys, two voices, but they're still under him theoretically. So he should feel strong enough to go, no, guys, that's it. It's done. Don't come to me. But because they know he's weak, they go after him on it. And they know that he also feels like he, oh, you know what, we're, if we stroke his ego, he'll play the bit, that kind of thing a little bit. If we fight him a little bit, if you push, if you pull, it's this whole like judo, verbal judo with Bowie, and he always loses.
Well, then the other aspect with him is that he's always, and he's not wrong about it, that he's been labeled, you know, the sucker, because that's what, you know, Wiggy and the crew have labeled him. They gave him that title of being, you know, if I don't get it through Bowie, I could get it through somebody else. And when, you know, Gary ends up saying no, they'll be like, okay, and they'll just go over his head and get it through, you know, maybe Robin or Wiggy. So he's always the punching bag.
Yes. But fuck Sal and Richard. And are you my producer?
Yes. And
what's the rule?
When we did the Friday show,
you call me up and you tell me.
I never played any of that stuff for you when we did the Friday.
Yes,
never.
You did. You came to me and said, "Do you mind if I play this?" Bits Howard rejected. I didn't reject the bit. You gotta fucking be kidding me. You're gonna argue?
So that's even worse. If he said he'd never played them for him before, that means he'd played unplayed bits that Howard didn't have a chance to review, which at this point we believe he must have been. Like giving, like, here, check this out. Do you think it's good? Play it for the air. I think he was in those early 2006, 2007 years of Sirius. Yes, because he was still after his fucking bonuses. He would have. But that's even worse, because that means, you know, he just played it thinking, well, this isn't going to, he decided this isn't good enough for Howard. So we can play this.
Exactly.
This with me?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to give you some insight into what happened.
I'm sick of your insight. Just tell me.
But you pay me for insight.
No, listen to me. Here's the rule yet again. If anybody doesn't understand it, you call me up and you fucking ask me if I'm done with something. How's that?
That I understand.
All right, thank you.
But
I'm
not arguing with you. I swear to you, I'm not arguing with you.
No, I understand you had a rationale.
I'm just trying to tell you what I was thinking. Yeah, so you don't understand
that. Stop thinking.
But I don't want you to think that I'm just some fucking renegade lunatic just playing whatever
I want.
No,
it's just that you get excited and you listen to Sal and Richard and they boss you around.
That's not
true. And you
true.
Can't fucking, you gotta fucking use your head.
Robin, did you
say it wasn't like that at all.
It wasn't, Robin. Robin was there.
No, you know.
But I'm just saying it wasn't like that. It was
Of course it's like that.
It was very organic and it just seemed, it's not like I'm
not organic. What is this organic?
It just sort of happened.
What is organic?
It's not like I walked.
I'm the organ. I know what's organic.
It's not like I walked in and said, "Oh, let's play."
We know. And the tune you're playing, yeah, the organ. You're the skin flute shithead. The only tune you're playing these days is fucking F flat. it's just shit. No, I mean, Bowie's doing he's like the hamster on the wheel. But the wheel goes in, like, you know, he's got one foot stuck in the wheel and he's still trying to run on it. And I think that, again, it's that pressure situation where he's just not been given if he has been given a delineated list of this is how to do, like, if they have a list of things not to address on the show, like, we can't play the Don Cornelius interview anymore, we can't play Linda McCartney anymore because we want Paul to be back on the show and all that shit, then there should be protocol on that show, and Gary would be responsible for putting that together.
Well, I would have, at least if he was going to put up something, at least some kind of argument, be like, you know, we did play it for you. You didn't have, you know, your temperature for it wasn't hot or cold. It wasn't as excited you would be. And, you know, sometimes Wiggy have acknowledged that, you know, maybe he's forgotten that he's heard it or not. But at this point right now, he's dead set to say, no, I was not ready to get rid of it.
But do you remember any real wrap-up show where they were stuck for content? There were always people willing to come in there and talk.
Yeah, but there's also been times when they at that time, too, that they were able to, well, maybe it was later on. It wasn't early, because early, like you said, they had to hit their bonuses and such. But, you know, later on, they would cut the show earlier. They would cut it off earlier because they really didn't have anything going on that day and such. Maybe they'll double back on something that happened during the week. But no, they hardly ever really did have anything where they didn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Play bits from the show today. It just sort of happened. And it
no,
seemed, and it
don't let
right.
things happen.
You mean that Carson's Rib commercial, that live read that John Hine would do that wasn't enough to pad out the fucking entertainment?
It felt right.
It did.
It feels.
Yeah, oh, please. Bowie was so upset when I believe it was Ralph who said that. Why is it that Gary's doing the reads when John does it so much better? Oh my God. He went in there lit like a firecracker, ready to drop all the F bombs on Ralph that day.
Oh yeah.
Feels wrong to me.
It does now.
Yeah. It felt right. No. Let me explain to you yet again how I work. I don't necessarily play something for 10 years. It comforts me to know there are 10 things that my audience hasn't heard that's fresh and new.
Robert, did I say that on the air yesterday?
Yeah, good. So then where did you go wrong?
We were all under
we.
The, hold on. We meaning
my, who's the we? I want to hear the royal we.
Me.
You
me.
Is we.
I'm going to take the me.
You call yourself we.
Was under the assumption that you were done with that bit. And
no.
Okay, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. I admit it.
Done with it. I haven't played it yet.
Nobody. But,
I never said to Sal I'm not playing it. I said not today. I'm not ready. And Sal knew that, too.
He didn't.
Yes, he did. In fact, I said to him, I'm taking it off this page. I said, in the next hour, remind me. And he never reminded me.
Christ.
And guess who's coming into the room?
Can't wait. But the other thing is, this is the look that I imagine Bowie has when Mary is lecturing him about shit he hasn't done.
Oh, please. That's the look right there that just says, I'm defeated. Yep. I lost. I can't do anything right now. And it could have ended right there. That would have been it until enter stage right.
Oh, and this is off topic, but I wanted to ask you at the beginning of the show, and I could clip this out and put that in together, make it seem organic, but I won't. The Vince McMahon stuff, everything that's coming out now, is it going to be a Harvey Weinstein situation now with all ex-divas that are still alive and ex-valets and ex-wrestlers, like lady wrestlers that have are in the business or even in the business? Do you think it'll be like an avalanche now?
It's getting really bad. I mean, it was always rumored or underneath the surface that these things were going on. And for the most part, we, as wrestling fans, we saw a lot of it kind of play out on TV, but it was always done because of like stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was always these conversations. And now with the allegations about the former diva who was allegedly raped in an army base.
Mm-hmm.
Now with a former female wrestler as well, who was fired because she turned down Vince's,
advances.
Stuff like that. It's bad. And now it looks like the smearing is about to go spread out wider to his daughter and such. And it's just the next couple of months is going to be really ugly.
It's going to be brutal for them to get past this because that kind of stank doesn't go away.
No, I mean, they had it at one point where they could have just walked away from it, but Vince, being Vince, had to muscle his way back in, had to, show that he was still in power. Yeah, wanted to take the lead, to have it show that he has his shares, and then go back on TV and, proclaim he's back. But nah, this is ugly.
Better for all the other promotions that are the competing, then, I'd say.
It really isn't, because even though the whole Vince stuff is bad, the fan base is still there, but they're there because of everybody else. They, like I said, loyalists knew that Vince was a piece of shit. So
yeah.
Everybody else right now, the only one that they're really trying to protect now, but it's starting to look a little gray, is Paul Levesque, Triple H, because he's done so much so well since Vince was gone. But now with all the stuff happening, people are going to want to find out, how much did he know? Did he try to hide anything? Did he try to come out and tell the higher ups what was going on? So that's going to be interesting, what's going to happen after Mania.
Yeah, because guys, and the reason why I ask is because this is in the realm of, not just because Vince was a Howard guest before and a known scumbag, but he for a number of reasons, not just, you know, maybe sexual improprieties and allegations and outright rape, basically, you know, and then the Pat Patterson stuff, which was never really never came to anything. The rumors and what have you. But this is the kind of thing on the level of Weinstein because of the reach and the worldwide appeal of not just WWE, but wrestling in general.
Yeah. And it's always been a black eye for wrestling, especially when it comes with the women's wrestling, because they were always considered a novelty. And, you know, certain companies had those individuals in those institutions that would try to take advantage of the female wrestlers just so they could get screen time and stuff like that. And in the past maybe 10 years, WWE was coming out of that shadow of having that, where they started putting women in the forefront to make them more mainstream for the audiences. And then this comes out and you're like, oh crap, here we go.
Yep.
He's incompetent, and so are you.
And listen, I wasn't looking, Howard.
Sal, get out of here. Just leave. You'd be the smartest man on the planet if you left right this second. You'd be really smart if you left right now.
I got one thing to say.
Say it, but I told you. Okay. What, did I warn you?
Yes.
You'd be really smart to leave right now.
Okay,
on the wrap-up. All right, go ahead. You're so smart, you're going to stay.
On the wrap-up show, I said, Gary, this is not a good idea. Howard hasn't played it yet.
Oh, fuck you! Robert, did he say that?
Well, then he's right.
I'll pull the tape.
You
I'll pull
fucking cocksucking liar.
No, I'm not
piece
throwing
shit. You are a fucking
I'm not
piece
throwing,
of shit.
No, you're
telling
him.
You know what? I now look at you.
That was the pop you were waiting for.
Sal never fails. He never fails.
Completely throws Gary under the bus. And Bowie, like, I think Bowie thought for a minute that he was going to actually defend him.
No, because you didn't hear him. He said, no, let him talk. Because he swore right up and down at
right.
him. I had his back.
Right. Well, but I didn't know if that was okay. Let it all come out then. I thought maybe he was going to be like, okay, this is, let the avalanche start. And then I thought, oh, maybe he's, you know, because originally when I saw this,
you would see you.
I swear to God, I can't win.
So Sal told you.
Howard, no, but Robin, I'm not just saying
shut
that.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not. Listen
Robin
to me.
Robin just said that he did not say that. Robin was
I swear
in there for
to
the
God,
whole
I'll
show.
Pull the tape.
I'm glad you actually stayed. I apologize.
But wait a minute. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm trying to say is that.
No, you said he's wrong.
No.
Now he's in stockbroker mode. Sir, yeah, you didn't exactly. just lose your entire mortgage on this stock.
You still have enough for an apartment.
Yeah.
Fuck. The point I'm trying to make is that. You did pull it off the page.
Yes.
And Gary is
and what
right
did I say to you when I pulled it off the page? Quote what I said to you when I pulled it off the page.
Why don't you just
page.
Say what you told me out there?
And I said,
wait a second. What did I say to you when I pulled the bit off the page?
Remind me about it again at another break.
In another break.
And I did, though.
No, you didn't.
No, but Howard, we have. But
and I don't care. That means I'm still using it.
But I'm not saying.
Okay. So he said you didn't. Sal says we did. I tend to believe Sal. And Howard's deciding whatever fits my fucking reality, because I can't not lose face in front of I can't lose face in front of Gary. I gotta be in the right here.
Right. And even still, like he said, he's like, even, you know, it's even if you did tell me I wasn't done with it, I told you I wasn't done with it. So,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in the end, but you know, that's one little chink in the armor for Howard.
Yeah. But you know that Wiggy does that. Wiggy always says, yeah. I've heard this, or he does that passive aggressive. I don't know. A friend of mine told me this.
Right. Or I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know it was raining. My hair looks like a bunch of, I don't know, like fucking seaweed hanging off the rocks in Niagara Falls.
That's why there's a scaffold on the top of my head. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Same with Gary. Here's the point I'm trying to make. What Gary
what
was
do you
saying,
mean what you go through with the lunatic? You're the lunatic.
You know him.
He's not a lunatic. You are.
He's a fucking lunatic.
No, he's not.
I'm going to tell you what he just said out there. I walked out. I go, just want to let you know, Howard's really upset about yesterday. And he goes,
he
about
pulled
that
it off
bit.
The page.
He goes, woo. So it's making the crazy sign about
no,
you.
I said,
crazy.
Shit.
No, don't fucking deny it, cocksucker.
No, now he's selling me out. He goes,
I'm not selling you out. I'm telling the truth.
There, you went in there. You went to me and goes, fucking Howard's going nuts on me. And I go,
I said,
why
Howard
go,
is furious
why are you
about yesterday.
Why are you reporting to Sal my reaction?
Because I want them to be ready for this.
No. You should be ready.
Oh, God.
Why are you reporting what I say to you to Sal? Is he the boss?
Absolutely not.
So in other words, when Mel Karmazin, you go into a meeting with him, do you sit there and tell everything Mel said to everyone else?
The answer is yes. Let's be honest. And listen, this is where I got to side with Bowie on this one aspect. Howard is such a shit. What does he think? That they're not like Bowie's not going to be bitching about him to other people? I'm certain he does and has.
Of course. But then the other thing is, this is years and years of lack of structure. There's just everyone has a title, but also they all treat it as equals. I mean, there's never been an instance that you have a guy run into your office dumping garbage over your head. I don't care what kind of radio show it is or what it is that you're doing. You just don't do that. It doesn't happen. Or putting his ass cheeks on a doorknob. Like, this is ridiculous. But this is allowed. And this is why shit like this would occur often.
Well, I mean, and to our benefit, I suppose. I mean, there's entertainment value in it, certainly. But the best is the wrap-up show part where they start. Artie goes, let's face it, Sal. You threw him under the bus, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
We may cover that for the second part because it is actually kind of funny. We'll keep going.
Affects all of us, yes, because I want them to know not to.
How does it affect? If you're doing your job, how does it affect them?
You can't ask a question and
this
not get an
insane.
Answer.
He goes and reports to Sal.
You can't get a question. Can't ask a question and not.
Go ahead. What else are you going to report?
What if they think it's okay to play bits, and I didn't say anything to them?
Say, by the way, I made a mistake yesterday.
Okay,
don't report on my mood. Stop. No, you. What do you mean? Oh, stop. You know I'm right. If you're in management, you go out. You don't sit and bust me. You go out and you say.
They need to know that you. That it
no.
comes from you. That you
no, it comes from you.
I'm done with you.
You wait. Don't know. It comes
Gary,
from you,
hold on.
Stupid.
No, wait, Gary, you need to come back here. See, he thinks I'm selling him out, but I'm not.
You sold him out.
And once again, like I mentioned earlier, lack of structure, lack of authority. Is it because Wiggy has been so laissez-faire himself when it came to stuff, and then he just wants to pull the authority card whenever it fits his own narrative or bit for the show or such? Or is it that Bowie just doesn't get it? Like, he just can't, you know, he can't follow through with understanding the rhythm.
In my opinion, if you're asking me honestly, it's the former.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do. Do I think Bowie's an idiot? Yes, that's also true. Like, let's not fuck around. But at the same time, like I said, it's from the top down. And if you have the fear, like basically, if you have a good working relationship with your boss, so this is Bowie and Howard, if they have open communication all the time to the point where you can go and retrieve your boss's jizz rags when he begs you to, then you should be able to talk to him any time of the day, call him at any time. Like Vince, all the wrestlers used to say, and Vince was such a scumbag, but most of the wrestlers back in the day that have like good things to say about him, they said, he told me 24 hours a day, you call me. If there's any problem, let me know. And he had a direct line to a lot of the big names, again, and even the lesser names. Like, if they were draws, they said, you're one of my boys, you call me.
Oh, I'll give you one better. Whenever there was a show, start time will be around 6:30. Curtains will start at 6:30. Vince is in the building at 10 o'clock in the morning and with a makeshift office. And he tells, you know, all the wrestlers, if you have anything, if you have any questions, you have any ideas, come see me in the office at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that policy, maybe more with the women than the others, but you know,
yeah.
But still, like he had that on my open door dialect with his crew.
Yes, it was an open. The door was always open. It was like, you know, if you had an issue, you come talk to me directly. Did he have intermediaries? Of course, as should Howard. But when you don't give the intermediaries the authority to really do their thing, and when you have other workers that don't respect whatever minimal authority you've given them, then what you get is anarchy. And that it will, you could, based on certain aspects of the show, because it is a radio show after all, and because you do have guests that push it forward, that leads to eventually certain breakdowns where it's entertaining, but psychologically it's got to be really disturbing for a lot of these workers after the fact.
Right. And even in the early episodes of the show, when there was always this struggle with Bowie and Wiggy, it was because, once again, that, you know, Howard would allow certain things, or Gary, I trust you to do this and do that. And then it was all of a sudden I got to take the reins back because either A, he did something stupid, or B, it just, I didn't like it. You know, it didn't fit what I wanted.
Or basically, you didn't read my mind fast enough, so right. I've got to fucking step in there. And I think with right. with narcissists especially, and Bob said this, and by the way, guys, I got in touch with Bob recently. I always have a, like, talk to Bob once in a while, like, chat, you know, with him on Facebook and stuff. And he's going to be back recording with me a week after this week because he got a new job, and he's feeling much better, so he's back to recording with QF. He was, yeah, exactly, you got it. And I know everybody's missed him, and I missed him, too. Too, because I love his voice. I love what he brings to the show. Everybody else does too, I'm sure. And we are going to be finishing up the second half of an episode we started but never finished in the fall, actually. So, and we're going to be doing other things as well. But to continue that point, it's not like you know, you can't have it so that there isn't some kind of, like, you can't have it so there's a minefield when you're waiting to go into your fucking boss's office. Like, he says, come in, right. and you got to check to see that there's not, like, laser underneath, you know, that's going to trip some mine or something.
You're doing that step, and what is it, in Indiana Jones 3, when he's going to get the grail and he's got to spell Jehovah when he's
taking right. steps. Fuck, it's brutal. Because and again, he wants that. I think that's strictly, well, first of all, Howard's an idiot himself. But second of all, he wants everybody off balance.
Yeah, because he believes that that's part of the charm of the show. But yet you bring the chaos with it as well.
Right. It's like what I remember, one of my favorite quotes about the Sex Pistols was, okay, they were a punk band, right? But, you know, punk, what's punk about? Well, back in the day, well, it was about not being able to play your instruments and, you know, show up, play shitty gigs and, you know, you're not wearing, you know, like, uniforms or whatever. It's just basically you go and you're a fucking shambles, but it still takes discipline to sit down, write songs, practice them, perform them, release them, record them, and, you know, and then eventually perform them and actually start doing something. So, but to say that about a band like the Pistols back in the day was like attacking, like, you know, like, I don't know, Gorbachev at the Politburo, you know, back in the day or something, you know, or, you know, going after Trump at a MAGA rally. I mean, you just don't do it. But you have to understand that, like even a show like Howard's needs some formal structure.
Yeah, even, you know, when I had a co-host years ago, and we would do, you know, our live streams and such, mm-hmm. and there was a moment where he had an idea for a segment and we were doing it, but he wasn't prepared. I mean, right out the gate, wasn't prepared. We had a guest. We were on a live stream and everything, and I basically had to cover for him and get it done. And when the mics went off, the live stream went off, I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I know that we have a free form kind of show here, but there is some kind of organization that I have here, and going on live and not being prepared, it makes us look shitty, dude. Like, I know,
like,
we're
the
not
Shilly Network. Well, I mean, let's go with, yeah, there are signposts like this right. show. I didn't tell you what we were doing, but I entrusted. Right. I knew your capabilities. I knew we go in, we're going to be able to talk this. You're not afraid to give your opinion. You sound pimp on the mic, and you're also not going to be stuck for a comment at any point.
Right.
So
I always said it comes down to Wiggy's, or now, and we've talked about this before, where is he the head of this, or is he just talent? I'm talking about Wiggy. Is he the head of this machine, or is he talent? Because when you listen to other radio shows and such like that, you know, Scott Shannon, he was the arbiter of Morning Zoo Radio and stuff. And right. then he had the control of anything. And then you'll get, like, someone like, you know, Elvis Duran or somebody, and maybe he was just talent at that point in time.
Right.
Wiggy's another one that he would come in and argue with management and be like, I'm the talent. But then when he wants to throw his weight around, all of a sudden now he's the head chief of everything.
When he wants to, he's chief muckety muck. But right. most of the times he's the, and I use this with big fucking anvil sized quotation marks here, guys, the talent. but yeah, he wants it both ways. And at some point in his career, he was both. He was right. The talent, but the talent being the 800-pound gorilla. When you don't have that much power anymore, now in this case he still does because at Sirius he's just signed a $500 million fucking contract for 5 years. So yes, he is chief muckety muck of his own station. But he still has to answer to Sirius CEOs or COOs at that point because they're paying his bills.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I think in his own mind, he's bigger than his own bosses.
Right.
I'm Stern. You know, you might be a COO, but I created, fucking Butt Bongo Fiesta, which I actually didn't.
I brought in 27 million subscribers.
Right, exactly.
No, I didn't.
But I'm glad you did, because I knew it.
No, but it sounds like you sold him out with a lie.
I've never done that before.
No, but I didn't. I said on the wrap-up show
yesterday. Did Gary say what you said he said? I mean, did you say to Gary what you said
he
said?
Sal, don't worry about it. Gary knows he did the wrong thing. I've told him this a million times. That's why he came running in. Both? Guess what happened yesterday?
Oh,
I played the grandpa pizza bit, because he knows. Something happened on the wrap-up show yesterday, but I think I did the right thing. I go, well, how's that the right thing? You didn't call me.
Gary kept saying to you today, he goes, Sal said you took it off the page, which is true. But even though you took it off the page, the point I'm trying to make is that when he decided to play on the wrap-up show yesterday, I said, Gary, are you sure you want to do this? And Gary said, trust me, it's not being played.
Oh, wow.
That's the point I'm trying to make, Gary.
Well, you see where Gary's conundrum. If Howard's taking it off the page, you could conclude that Howard's not going to use it ever. He doesn't like it.
But then the other thing is, he just said it. Gary told on himself. He's not paying attention. He hardly would ever listen to the wrap-up show unless he was like on his ride home or in between quote-unquote meditation sessions.
Right.
Whatever. Nap time, dude. We know you were napping. Cut the shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, if he would have never said anything, he would have gotten away with this. I had a coworker who just told me last night, she came to me and she was telling me that, there was an issue. And she says, my supervisors always tell me I can never get in trouble because I'm always telling on myself. This is Gary. Gary's always because he's afraid. He's always fearful of something. He doesn't have confidence. And that's the key thing. He never had confidence as a producer of the show.
Yeah, and that's the way Howard definitely wanted him for that. That's, when you make a janitor at the fucking CEO, all of a sudden it's like when that movie Being There, when they start going to, what's his name, Peter Sellers for like advice and shit. what do you think about this? I think that at the end of the day, like... That's another part of the issue. If you were a fan of the show for a long time, you remember what Bowie's been like, and if you're Sal and you're Artie, you've heard Bowie get bashed 1,000 times before you're on the show. Now you're on the show and you see how he works and you see for yourself, is it really him just busting Gary's balls and he's a good producer, or is he retarded? And they see that he's actually retarded because Gary, like by the end, Artie had no respect for Bowie. And I know his drugs played into that, but that also seeing that Gary made more than him must have fucking made him livid.
Gary is the mailman from the Seinfeld episode when Elaine hired him and Jay Peterman to be like the lead in advertising or something.
Right. Oh, man.
Trust him.
I think that there was a you guys felt that it was never going to be played.
We did too. Yeah.
And Gary gets pressured by these guys.
It wasn't pressure. It was sort of like a consensus that, this is a bit Howard's never going to play.
I've never said I'm not playing it.
I think Gary used common sense in this case that it really sat for a long time. And I think the call wasn't that bad in this circumstance.
Hook Nose Mike, you're on the air in Tampa. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Howard. You hook-nosed, you bastard. Listen, I want to know if you had any new bits to play today. Do I have to listen to the wrap-up show to hear them?
Oh, I'm glad you called, Hook-Nose. Yeah, the new bits now debut on the wrap-up show because I'm an asshole. Because so Gary never knew that. He thought it was over.
I should tune in to anything that's new and exciting at 10 o'clock for the wrap-up show?
Yeah, listen to Sal, Richard, and Gary on the wrap-up show today. They'll probably have some more stuff to play for you that I haven't played yet.
Hook-Nose Mike just there sounded a little bit like Levy.
Jesus. It's funny because anytime he calls, I always say the line in my head to myself. Hey, good morning. Right.
You hear it, you say it before you hear it.
Exactly. But Robin is getting like the pass here because Wiggy should also be giving her a tongue lashing as well.
because she was on the wrap-up show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't make a mention to say, hey, was that cleared by Howard?
Right. And she like to cover her own self, absolutely. Or right. or to help Gary cover himself. That's right. True.
I'll try and rush to get to a lot of it, but if I miss it, you know.
Hey, listen, if you miss it, Howard, they're gonna play it. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, tune in. I'm telling you, you'll never know what you'll hear. Nate, you're on the air.
Yeah, Howard, yesterday Sal did say something to Gary on the wrap-up show about it.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Gary does what Gary wants.
Well, we have a tape of it. We can listen
to it. I'll listen to it. But I'm going to go back and listen to the show.
The point is that you, Howard, did take it off the page.
I did.
Tell me to remind you.
You knew, too, that I wanted
yes.
it.
Well, you sat on it for a long time, and
yes.
I think...
Yes. How long do I have to... So I know.
Yeah, there's a shelf life.
Sal, before you and Gary play it on the wrap-up show?
That's your call. You're the boss.
I'm not.
You're the ringleader.
You and Gary are the boss. No. You decided yesterday on your own to play it.
No.
So who's the boss?
You are.
No, you are. You decide when things are played.
No,
I didn't play it fast enough for you.
I told Gary he should not do it. I mean, but so...
I don't recall you telling him
I
not
said,
to do it.
I said, maybe it's not a good idea. And he said, trust me, it's a good idea. But I think in this case, Gary made a good call. I mean,
yeah, because he played your bit.
and mind you, this is a time where the bits were starting to start overlapping each other. This is when, you know, Artie started bashing him about the whole... train siren.
Well, yeah, they were. He was right. They were overusing the premise way too
much. Yeah. So anything that they were able to get on the air was like their cum shot. They were just happy to get it off.
That was the thing. Like, okay, I'm trying to let's do a little listing here. And again, I'll throw this out to all you guys at QF as well. What give us your list of bits that not just you didn't find funny to begin with, but bits that you thought. They kept going to that well too often. Things that I never cared about, honestly, were because I never got the visual and there's no, you know, I didn't see any, it's just wrong shit, you know, and now you have to go to Pornhub to see that stuff if you want to. like anal ring toss, anything that was visual, I didn't really give a fuck about. I didn't care to see certain guests. I guess it would be interesting to see what the interview with, let's say, Mr. T when he got angry at him, whether that was a work or not, you know, if it was legit, if what he looked like angry when Robert Blake got pissed off at him, I would have liked to have seen that. Right. When Gary Coleman was in there, like, what does Gary Coleman look like at that point in his life? That kind of thing. That's when the visual would have mattered. But like, what are some bits that you think they just really should have retired before they got any kind of traction?
Any phone calls that involved the Whack Pack never did anything for me. I hated the Beetlejuice stuff, the Gary stuff. I never hit the ground running for me, any of those stuff.
You felt it was filler?
It was filler. Sometimes went a little bit too long. Whenever they would take that Wendy call, it was just like Early on, when Gilbert was there and he was like, did Gilbert rape you? Yeah. Did he touch your nasty place? Yeah. Right. Like, that was fun. But once he saw that he kept going to that well too much, it just never did anything for me.
Well, what about, like, because you're like a renowned, you know, like a historian of the Stern Show. What about back in the K-Rock days? Early back as you can remember.
The K-Rock stuff, yeah, like you mentioned, like anything that was the visual stuff, because you couldn't really get the E-Show didn't come until like 92 and stuff. So anything, and it was sparse whenever you could get any of that stuff was, and especially in their quarters, their tight quarters, you couldn't really get, you couldn't really see. You know, it's funny that I was never into really much of the porn stuff. I mean.
Same.
Yeah, it just. It doesn't carry over well on radio. I thought the funny stuff later on was when they got the Sibian for the first time. Like it was cool to hear that, especially when you were trying to put celebrities on it.
Right.
But like the early stuff, like the porn things, and that never really did anything for me.
The only time I liked one of those segments was there was one, you know, porn stars versus slow adults. That was a good one.
All the Hollywood squares. It was hit or miss with me, but when you finally got to see it, that's when it was kind of funny.
Or when Artie already started fucking with one of the blind Bunny Ranch girls. Like, how do you know? How do you know when you wipe your ass? How do you know you're clean?
Oh, I love that. Oh, when Artie was with the queer eye to the straight guy kind of
thing. That was that. I have to say, I've
it was painful because we know that he was going through some stuff.
Yeah,
but some way he still found it to be funny when he asked the guy, "How much would it take for you to fuck me in the ass?"
Do you know that was clearly him just being extremely uncomfortable and like wallowing.
Yeah,
drunk, uncomfortable, but also, and that, but that one is, that's one that some idiots out there seem to want to use as the holy grail to point to the their theory that Artie is gay. And I thought you guys are honestly, you're not even, I wouldn't even insult retards by calling you retarded.
Yeah.
He's not gay. He's uncomfortable with homosexuality.
Right. That was the one that, especially knowing how uncomfortable he was and how uncomfortable he made them. But then afterwards, when they all came in the studio and they were able to like laugh about it for a little bit more.
Right.
But that's silly for them to draw that as his out episode.
And as bad as the what was it, the Spearmint Rhino, the drunk in Vegas one was, when he sees that guy who played Vito in the Sopranos, the guy goes, "Fags on the Sopranos are fags."
Those were tough shows to watch too. The Vegas shows to listen to they were pretty tough audio wise, and plus that is such more of a visual presentation. Those are really hard. I think that's why he stopped doing them after a while.
Well, that and there was that, and also he never really got a pop. None of those shows worked. You might have had bits of them or certain. It was always better to, if they did go to Vegas, when they came back from Vegas, to talk about things that happened that they didn't air.
Right.
You know, the wrap up when they came back, whatever weekend they had, and it was in Vegas, then they came back to New York and then started talking about it. That was infinitely more. And I think it showed because they were more comfortable being at home again.
Yeah. As probably difficult to probably have done, but they were capable of doing it, was when Billy was there and he would do, you know, the Jackie puppet or any impression, whatever. Those were so audible that you could just picture like them there or a person being there. They were that good to carry that out. But then later on, when you would get like a Craig Gass or someone like that, it just never really resonated the same way. I don't know why.
Maybe made a good call.
If you weigh it out.
All right. Okay. Well, from now on, I'll check in with you.
No, you don't have to.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
All right.
Thanks a lot, pal.
But I don't want Gary.
Sal thinks Gary made a good call.
That's all that counts.
Glad we got a lot out of it.
Don't come in here. Don't come into my office and apologize to me with your fucking stockbroker bullshit. Don't come in here. Don't fucking come in here.
What are you angry about? Yourself, I hope.
No, I'm angry.
He told you not to play it.
Zell will say anything in front of you to make himself look good.
No. Gary couldn't have played it if they hadn't gone to get it. So he wasn't that adamant.
The point that I was trying to make to you, Gary, is you said to Howard three times, Sal said you took it off the page. You were already implying that it was me that led you to play it on the wrap-up show.
No, Gary did it himself. He knows what he knows the rules.
But don't sit here and say like you ran in like a fireman and said, don't play that bit. You always do that to try to make yourself look good in front of Howard.
It's not true.
According to this listener, he did say, don't play the bit.
This is like a circular saw.
Yeah. It's like everybody's just getting hit with fucking blood and bones and muscle. It's just everybody's just getting hit with shit.
Yeah.
No, he
didn't. No, he didn't.
I said, Gary,
Nate,
maybe
you heard it, right?
Oh, definitely. He said, Howard still might play it. And Gary laughed. He goes, trust me, he ain't going to play it.
That's how
Yeah. He knows.
But
so, Gary,
said,
get back in here and apologize
said,
to me.
Apologize
know,
to Sal,
I don't
Gary.
Know. And then you went to get
him.
It.
Gary,
fuck him.
Apologize to Sal. You're lying.
He's a cunt.
Why is he a cunt? Apologize.
Because he just will do anything to make.
Why?
Him,
he warned you not to play it.
When he feels the avalanche coming, he'll do anything to get himself
but
out.
But, Gary, he warned you not to play it, so apologize
he
to him.
He didn't warn me not to play it at all.
I was looking out for you.
Just said it on the
you're terrible.
He's a shit. He's such a shit. Shit hit the fan. Shit hit the fan. Sal just hit the shit the fan. No, he came in as though he was saving Bowie from something,
And then right. now all of a sudden he sees that he's in the clear in Wiggy's eyes, and he's like, "Oh, okay, I'm avoiding it now."
This image is probably going to be the Photoshop. he looks like a kid has just set his kids. He's just knocked the ice cream out of 20 kindergartens like ice cream cones and run away. Now, I this is my question to you. On a basis of fucking with Bowie, who did it better overall over the, you know, the tenure? I know John did it more and for longer, but who do you think did it better, Stuttering John or Sal?
Oh, man.
I mean, for volume, I guess you got to give it to Stuttering John.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like...
you hate Stuttering John.
I hate John, but you know what? But Sal is fun. Sal is actually funny, you know?
Yeah.
And when Sal does it, it's also, there's a naivete about him as well. He's also, you know, he has a form of innocence, but yet also there's a form of malice behind him.
Oh, yeah.
But with John, it was just, that was his one trick pony just to make daddy happy, you know?
Yes. And he went on to admit that in his book, basically, like, it, yeah. and say it on the air. I mean, like, look, as long as Howard's fine with me, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm not going to give a fuck, you know, about what Gary has to say.
I would equate more what Jason Kaplan does to what John was doing.
Sure. Than
what would do.
Yeah.
Can I just say that thank God Sal isn't smart and he stayed in.
Right.
That's what I get for looking out for Gary.
Oh, you're terrible.
No, I mean, Gary's working with me 20 years. He doesn't know. Just give me a call. Don't make decisions on your own. He knows that.
Call him, Gary.
Never make a decision on your own.
Sal, listen, though, a piece of advice for the workplace. If you're going to be phony and fuck over people, do it to one party, not to everyone, because then everybody's going to be mad at you.
Artie, what do you imply?
Well, it sounded like you ran in here. I mean, when you ran in here and said what you had to say about Gary, you made it sound like you were way more adamant, like you were the hero of the situation.
No.
And immediately got Howard, you know, on your side about it. It didn't sound that strong.
Okay, but let me explain to you what I... The point I was trying to make.
I've been made very uncomfortable today.
Me too.
No. I don't care about
your... it was played? He certainly was congratulating himself for his reaction.
I said Gary made a good...
happy it was done.
Yeah, I said Gary made a good...
Gary made a good call.
Yeah, I said Gary made a good call.
I think so.
And
I just love the fact that Bowie's in the background.
And every time I hear Wiggy go into that voice, all I hear is Ray. Really, Sal? Yeah? You think he made a good call? Yeah? You think so?
You know what? Now I'm seeing it for the first time. You're right. The two doors in Bowie's office. I always thought it was just the one on the left.
No, it's two. There's one that goes into the hallway, and the other one is to their bullpen.
What a stupid design! I mean, like an escape hatch.
And I think at one time until they changed it. One was a glass door.
I always thought, like, I must have thought it was like a mirror or something, or just something, you know, like some weird. I don't know. Just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, good.
He got your bit on the air in ASAP.
But the point I'm trying to make...
He overrode my decision and decided that it was
and
time.
That's
and that
wrong.
Was a good decision.
That's wrong.
I see.
But in this case...
But you really 50-50. Didn't feel how it was going to play it.
Right, and I didn't.
You don't know anything about it.
And I don't know anything about it. But the thing is,
my point is that was the feeling you were conveying in the room, that it was never going to be played. You had lost hope and faith.
It was 50-50. That's why I said to Gary, I don't know if you should put more
a 90-10.
Well, Robin, Robin, I did
all
say
right,
to
all
Gary.
Right, thank you. You have to leave now.
The point I'm trying to make, though, please, is that...
I guess so. talk about doing a jeté into quicksand.
It's like I said, with Stuttering John, he's stupid, yeah. But he was smart enough to know that as long as Howard's happy, Sal is generally just, you know, naive, and he's okay.
Yeah, he'll dig himself out of some ditch and then jump into another.
Yeah, that's why he was probably such a really good stockbroker. He knew how to manipulate things.
I just remember Dice saying one time, like, because Florentine talked about how Dice would actually purposely bomb, like, just to see if he could get out of it. because he was on the show, I think, and he said something like, because sometimes you can get out of it, and other times you just keep bombing. He goes, I find that funny. And his Instagram, by the way, is the greatest invention known to earth.
Oh my God. I just love how he just walks up on people in New York City and trolls the shit out of them. Like, it's like
you want a picture with the guy with the legend, right? But it's not just the concept. It's his quickness with the camera, like going back and forth is and it's picture perfect all the time. It's because he's been doing this for, you know, 30 years filming with different formats and stuff.
Well, if you call it picture perfect, as in just catching just from his nose up picture perfect.
No, but I mean, like he gets the looks. I mean, there's probably some that he fucks up and he doesn't show us, but for the most part, he goes to the plaza and he says, white gloves.
But he is that guy. He's New York. I ran into him in the city like that. He was sitting. Yeah. He was on 57th and I believe it was like 6th Ave, just sitting on steps, just there. Like,
yeah.
And he had his tracksuit just sitting there, glasses, smoking a cigarette. I'm like, oh shit, that's Dice.
And you knew enough to leave him alone.
Oh yeah. No, the only thing I just did was like, I gave like a wave. Cause I was like, I don't fuck with this guy. Leave him be.
Well, typically it depends. Like now that he's doing that's the Instagram thing, I think he'd be more like, he'll come up to you, if you happen to be there. But in the old days, it's like, if he doesn't want to fuck with, he'd have bodyguards and stuff. He doesn't really want to deal with people. I don't blame him at some level, but now he sees the menace. Like when we played those Artie phone calls, like those phone messages, Sam and I were dying. Like I that's why I isolated it years ago. Cause I thought how funny it was.
Yeah, listen, after going down, I've been going down the Gilbert hole these past couple of weeks and just hearing his stories. It's like the same premise is like, hey, if you're going to go out, you're going to go out big, right? It's
like, big time. Gilbert doing the entire rock opera, Tommy, in the voice of Jerry Lewis as the Nutty Professor on stage.
I was listening to him doing his podcast, his mini podcast, and he was reciting "Bad Bad Leroy Brown," and the voice of Fred the Barber from
Floyd.
Green Day, for Floyd the Barber.
which Floyd, post stroke or pre stroke?
It was post stroke. He did it as
Bad Grouch. Leroy Brown.
He did Groucho on Dick Cavett. He's like, well, they're calling Leroy, but the letter L starts the name Leroy.
That's perfect. Imagine Groucho doing Pulp Fiction or something like that. What does Marcellus Wallace look like? Does he look like a bitch?
Now they say he looks like a bitch. I never liked using the word bitch.
You made all the points. It's boring.
Gary said five times. Sal said you took it off the page. So he's already implying that I led him to do it. And I didn't.
Right.
So I'm not trying to be. That's the point. That's why I came in here.
It was my decision. I take responsibility for it. You guys didn't pressure me or anything. But don't say you tried to stop it like a fucking fireman running into a burning building.
Well, Gary, when you say five times, Sal said you took it off the page, it sounded like you were implying that I led you to do it.
Thank you.
So you came in to defend yourself.
That's exactly why I came in. And I
think we should hear the tape. You're bitching.
Yep. And that's where we get to. And that's Sal. Sal.
Holy Christ.
Through all the browbeating, through all the arrows and harpoons being thrown, he'll find a way to survive. He'll get out of it.
Jesus Christ.
I'm complaining about not getting it on.
What's all that?
Right. Thank you. Come on.
I'm dizzy.
I'm dizzy from you myself. I'm dizzy from all of you.
Go get Tim, some Viking and bring him in.
Tim, you're on the air in Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hi.
Hey, this wrap-up show, man, honestly, it's a good show. But in the last month or so, I think it's really been going to Bubba Booey's head. He sits back there, and he's the devil's advocate. He's argumentative, and he's spinning it his way.
I'll tell you what. Thank God for tape, because I have a clip that I'm going to play in 2 minutes of Sal telling Gary not to play the clip. I will play it for you.
Well, I agree with the caller in the sense that. Oh God, I said in the sense, Jesus Christ. Fuck me. No, I agree with him in the way that fuck it, I'll just say it, in the sense that when he got, there's no way, this time I'm using it properly, not like him, not like another fucking 79. When he got to that, it came with the doing the wrap-up show came from doing the Friday show, which was replacing obviously Howard's, you know, no shows on Friday. And people bitched about them. We'll play that first Friday show. That's so much fun. People calling and complaining. He got the salary bump when he got there, and that we presume, I'm certain he did, because you don't get that fucking McMansion in Connecticut without a little bit extra pay. And he wasn't at monster truck rallies or fucking, you know, swinging sledgehammers for that extra scratch. That
crazy Eddie and shit helping to sell audio fucking equipment for cars.
No kidding. And then so what happens? So he does the wrap-up show. All of a sudden he has his own show, even though it's just to serve as Howard's cleanup crew. I think it did definitely go to his head, because he certainly got more and more arrogant throughout the years.
Yeah. And that's what I mentioned earlier. I really believe that he in his mind thought that this was going to be his launching pad for doing something outside of the Sternverse. Like that was going to be his thing. So the wrap up show, when they gave it to him, because didn't after was it 2014, 2015, he's not there anymore. They gave it, somebody else is hosting it.
It's Rasan and he and John Hine pretty much had ownership of it. And I remember then Rasan came along. I don't know. I'm not sure what brought that on. I guess he needed to be hired. I have no idea. But he brings nothing to the show, actually. Rasan's really obnoxiously arrogant for no good reason.
Let's come on. Let's be honest. He's the token. What?
come on. The soul brother.
Yeah, you know, power to the people. Come on.
Well, he's in good company, because he's just as bad as Jan and fucking Gary. Like they're none of them bring anything to the table. And and thankfully, Jason, our buddy, I believe it's Jason. I'm not going to get his surname wrong accidentally by trying and attempting and failing. He found on Usenet the back office radio shows, all of them, or as many of them as he could. So I've got them in the, he gave us the link in our Patreon actually. And I mean, that was the wrap-up show was responsible for a lot of guests coming in and saying more, like they were there for Howard and then they stuck around and they wanted to talk more, or they managed to nab them to come in. And the, you know, these were shows that Howard, if he was smart, would have cultivated. The wrap-up show was great. It could be. It depended on who was in.
Yeah, but it was always like the caller said that he would be this two-sided, you know, devil's advocate kind of host and the know-it-all and even the guys were going in, you know, Sal would always tell them, stop kissing his ass, and he was always finding a way to fuck with Bowie, but they were right.
Thank you.
And then that'll be it. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hey, Al, what's going on?
I don't recall him saying that.
Hold it, Glenn. I can't hear you. 1 second. Please begin again.
I said, you need to get out of therapy. You're getting soft because first Robin's on the Bubba show, giving her revelation. Now this guy's doing his thing. I mean, what the fuck's going on in here, dude? You need to get a little tough like you used to back in the day, and you need to get that Yenta off the view every day after your show.
What?
That's Gary. I think he's calling the wrap-up show The View.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what? Sir, Gary is... Baba Booey is overloaded. Night. He's really overloaded. I got to tell you, because he just bullshits me.
Yeah, well, that show's no good anyway, really.
Oh, come on. The show's good.
The show's good. That's not my problem.
It was a good idea to have a show like that.
The last caller was right. It's really not that good because, I mean, they just sit around and cackle about what you did already all day.
I know, like all day.
Well, I'm going to play it because Howard hasn't played it yet, so I'll just play it. And I'll be good.
Well, I think it was more an interpretation that you had lost. You liked it, but you didn't like it enough to play.
I liked it fine.
Because you had previewed it a lot, according to them.
It, so what?
I don't know.
That's my process.
I'm just telling you.
That's my process. I've got a process for this thing. It's been pretty successful the way I do it.
You got already fallen asleep. Yeah.
Good.
That's comedy.
Well, it was certainly when Kathy Griffin came in and Hardy was on the couch.
You mean to tell me you didn't like Bubba with Robin there? Oh, we gotta shock the puss. We gonna that would have been cool.
Did you honest to God question?
No.
Did you ever like fucking Bubba ever before, no, after, during?
Never listened to one episode.
Do you think he added anything? Like, did you also understand why the fuck they would bother getting Brent? Like, no, after Bubba left.
None of it. Not even when they would do the cross promotions when the Bubba Army is in the building. Like, I never found them funny. Never found the whole shtick of the hillbillies. None of it.
I was gonna say, do you think it's regional? Like, or it's just you? Something about Bubba just struck you the wrong way?
No, it's probably regional, but you know, and at the same time, nothing I found funny about it. Like, it was just wasn't my cup of tea.
Fair enough.
That's comedy 101, my friend. Fat guy falls asleep equals laughs.
He ain't doing it behind my back.
To his side, I'm doing
it. I mean,
he doesn't do it on the wrap-up show. That's what he only does it here.
Well, by then I've had a time for a cocaine break, Robin.
You got Sal Bought.
I'm just really out of my mind over it. And I don't want to start a show like that, but I'll try and move on. I'm really perplexed.
Can I say something a little behind the scenes thing, which I think defends what you're saying? The other day, and Sal and Richard, 90% of their bits are great, but the other day they played something they did with Joe Franklin.
Right.
And I sit back here, and every once in a while you'll go to me for an opinion, and I overhear it. I didn't think it was that strong. I was like,
it was bad.
You know, well, bad, whatever. I was like, I was hoping you would ask me because I saw you were pondering it. Hmm. But you didn't say no, you didn't say yes, and Richard pitched it like any writer would, and you didn't give any example of you being mad about it or just like, look, we'll get to it later. And in my head, I'm going, that's kind of smart, because you wake up the next day with comedy, it might seem good,
right,
and maybe you'll want to play
it.
And
you
never said yes or no. And if that was played on the wrap-up show and I was you and I was waiting to sleep on it, that would make me mad.
Yep.
Well, before you, I know what Artie's trying to say. He's being a little diplomatic about here, but the truth is, with comedy, I found, and I'm sure you agree, maybe you don't, but if it doesn't hit you right away, it's never going to hit you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, there's certain things that with certain material that you work on, and in a lot of comedians will even say, they've even spoken about it, that, you know, they've worked it out, they tried it out, they fixed it, they tagged it, whatever fucking book that Stout was reading from.
They gave callbacks.
They did a callback, they did an act out, whatever fuck it is, and it just didn't work. And they would say, I heard it the first time, I knew it wasn't going to work, but I tried to work it out. He says, and they'll say, you know, I learned just to throw it away because I'm not going to use it.
Well, there's, I'll give you an example. I got, okay, let's see, I heard Bicentennial N-word. I can't use the word. The Richard Pryor album before.
Don't worry about it. I got the pass. I can say it for you now. I'm kidding.
Well, yeah. It's like I couldn't get Maori tattoos, but even though one of my Maori friends gave me a pass, he said, that's okay. If you go to Christchurch, I'll give you a pass. Anyway, I didn't want to do a cultural appropriation. So no one's going to see it anyway. Jesus Christ, I just lost my train of thought.
Bicentennial N-word.
Oh, Bicentennial N-word, yes. So he does that eating with white folks, like versus eating it, you know, what my family is like at the dinner table. But he does a version, and it's funny, like it's a great album, it's a classic album, but he does a version of it on that, in that video, Live and Smoking from 1971. That's, you know, him clearly working on it. And that one's, I think, funnier because of the visual.
Right.
You know,
yeah, there's certain things when certain premises, certain material, when it comes to the comedy, that you instantly know is going to be over. Like you get it. And it's always that first reaction from people. And sometimes if you have to sit and wait on it, and a lot of writers do it too, then when it comes to their work, be it for comedy, be it for screenplays and stuff, it's like they say, if it doesn't jump at you, then you get rid of it.
Give me one sec. Let me see if I can find it. This is for Kerry, because I know he loves this album. Let's see if I can find it. Craps, After Hours, Richard Pryor. That was the first, he didn't own that. I think it was on, yeah, Laugh Records or whatever the fuck. Let's see.
You go in the back room where the Negroes shoot craps. I always thought that meant throwing shit. But they'd be in the back, you know, having a nice seduced dance. Tell me, guys, down on these niggas' head is eating that. Give me a six. If I don't six, ain't a Jesus. You got no. What you mean I ain't throwing far enough? I'm throwing across the street, nigga. Oh! How that? Yeah, I know how to throw them, man. Just tell me, I lock them anywhere. I shake them motherfucking one at a time on the bottom and the top. Wrong floor. And there's always some old dude in the place never makes a bet, but makes all the noise in the place. Right, the guy. Now what you gonna do, nigga? You done fucked up the game. Had the dust eyes and half, ain't got a nickel. Made every number on the thing, man. Ain't got a penny to the name. Get your ass away from the table. Buy shit, buy this. And smart guys, there you go. What you mean, man? That boy just come in, man, ain't his dice. I was here and Raymond was standing there, man. And the girl was next to me. She done moved. That's Raymond. Why, Raymond? Well, don't ask nobody nothing there. That's all right. If I want the dice, I buy them. You got change for a dollar? Man, I ain't bullshitting.
We know that fucking clip from Two Live Crew.
Oh, Jesus, please. And the shit, that's the sad part is I actually know all the rules and shit for craps. And it's like hearing my childhood.
It's recorded so poorly, and it was recorded at Red Fox Club in Hollywood. And it, you can hear like Paul Mooney laughing and stuff, but it's so intimate. And yeah. That's why I still love it. It wasn't on Warner Brothers. I think they finally took some bits of this and re-released it as early stuff, like the Warners or Rhino, I think, put it together. And we'll play a little bit more just because it's a little self-indulgent, but I hope you guys like it.
Well, put your money down. I'll cover nigga for $100. Put it down. Yeah, that's $100. I ain't got to show you shit. And you go into like the parlor, and it's usually two hillbilly dudes trying to buy a pussy. Like, you know where you can get us a couple black girls? We'll kind of do a little something. I mean, sure appreciate it. Think you can fix us up? We can't live. How come you dudes don't ever bring no white bitches with you when you come down here? Now look, ain't no need to talk dirty. Yeah. And there'll always be a raid, but you wouldn't know if it was a raid or not, because the white cop and the black cop be together, and he may time out on your ass. You know, emergency. Where is it? Cops, man. Everybody get rid of shit. Cops. And the cops come in, right?
Don't worry, partner, Hannah. Anybody around here seen Jesse? We're looking for Jesse. You seen Jesse? No, nigga, I don't want no radio. Raymond, you seen Jesse?
Not me, no Lord. Swear to God, I ain't seen nobody since 1942.
Anyway, it just keeps going on. Like, he's just, the fact that he was able to put all these voices together and just be himself was so fucking brilliant. And I brought that up because it just got me thinking of like people working on their craft. Sal and Richard trying these things, overdoing them because they're desperate for airtime. It seems to me like they didn't quite know during the course of the show how far to go with just about anything.
What do you mean? You didn't like Richard's impression of a woman? You didn't like Ethel?
Ethel? Well, it sounded like Richard with fewer synapses in his brain.
It was like Richard with a deviated septum.
Hi. It's the same when he would call in, when he called in that, who was that one? That what was that one show they called in Loveline? Whatever. That's just not love. That's I love that guy.
Which, by the way, did you hear the story that Quincy Jones said about Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando?
Sure, I believe it. Oh, of course, it was in that interview in Vulture, and like everybody. Oh, okay, I remember the fallout because Rain Pryor said, you know, she defended her dad, said, "Oh, it's not true," and Quincy's, you know, old and he shouldn't be doing that. And Jennifer Lee was like, "Well, look, everybody did coke in those days," and she was married twice. You know, she was his final wife, but Richard had bits about him doing dating gay guy like transsexuals and you know and having sucked dick, and he was famously at the Hollywood Bowl where he admitted I sucked a dick for 5 minutes, I liked it. and then Brando said he admitted he was a bisexual. I mean, it's no big secret, so it's entirely possible. Okay. And Brando was huge in like he was a civil rights activist, and mm-hmm. he loved comedy, and he was the king of the heap. So he would have loved Rickles, he loved Sid Caesar, he would have loved Pryor.
And to believe that at the time that it was saying that he was 800 pounds himself, it was like at the time of when it occurred that he was huge at the time.
I remember when Paul Mooney came in. This is before we found out that Paul Mooney had raped Richard Pryor Jr. via the bodyguard Rashawn, who went on. I can't remember. It wasn't Red Tube. I can't remember what show he was on, but he went on. And then Richard Pryor Jr. was forced to sort of address it, and he didn't really refute it. You know what I mean? So, but Paul Mooney. He went on the Stern Show and he said something about Dolly. He was joking. He said Dolly Parton slept with Richard. Artie said something. I just love the idea, the imagery of seeing Richard Pryor's afro right between Dolly's big tits. That's great. Oh, anyway, so we'll play a little bit more.
Yeah, let me tell you, you've hit it on the head. Right, what I do is when I prepare the show, I have a computer in front of me. Like, for example, here it is, Jack and Rod with Joe Franklin. It's been sitting here now for a week and a half, and I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about how could I make that good? How could I explain who Joe Franklin is to a lot of the audience?
And who knows? Joe Franklin might come up in a conversation, and then it's organic.
And so even with this Grandpa Pizza bit, I know the bit's there. Lately, we've been very full. We've been very busy with different kinds of things. I haven't needed to go to it. And I have a process I work through. And I also get very comforted by having 10 things sort of laying around that I can hit if I need it. And Gary knows this. This is how I work. Now, for him to go on a show for 3 seconds of pleasure to play something that I'm sitting on and thinking about and putting this much effort into.
That would aggravate me. Absolutely, yeah.
I'm aggravated.
Hey, Hal.
Yeah.
Listen, just tell Gary to start being a boss and run the office and stop dilly-dallying with these fucking two.
Right.
Yeah. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
It's good advice, but he can't do it.
Nope. He can't because Howard has already made him inferior.
Guys, we are going to leave that one there as it is. Sorry if it seems a little abrupt. There's more to it, and there's also the wrap-up show, so we're going to make this a part two because the wrap-up show is a lot of fun, and we're going to get Gary's stupid rebuttal as well because that's always fun. So we hope you've enjoyed it. Any shout-outs to anybody you want to plug? Turnbuckle Tabloid, my friend.
Yeah, first of all, guys, make sure you check out Turnbuckle Tabloid. I've been doing a lot of social media content. I've actually been hitting up TikTok more, the Instagrams and such. Guys, subscribe, be a part of the vibe on all social media outlets as well as on podcasting outlets, Turnbuckle Tabloid. And I want to give you guys, and Sam and the rest of the crew a shout out. I mentioned earlier, I've been doing the big deep dive on old Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, and it had me go back and listen to the tribute episode that you guys did for him, mm-hmm. and you guys gave him such a beautiful send off that I've never heard any other place do it as well as you guys did, and it makes me laugh, it makes me happy and sad to know that he's not here anymore. And then to know what's on his headstone, which is perfect send off for him, which says too soon.
Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, you guys did an awesome job with that. And Gilbert would have loved every moment of it.
Thanks, man. I felt that I only wish I could have put I'd fucked up and didn't include the video, but I should have at the end of from the documentary. But I also thought I might get in trouble if the video appeared in a 30-second vignette, right, even though there are trailers on there and stuff. Like Norm, it hit so hard because we didn't know. Like, no one knew that it was going to happen. And I mean, you knew he was eventually, yeah, of course, but Norm especially, because he kept it so secret. But he's missed. He's so missed. And I mean, if you could have, I would have happily given up I would have given up another 50 years of Stern for 10 more minutes with Gilbert on the planet.
Oh, definitely. Especially, you mentioned Norm too. I was listening to a lot of the Norm and Super Dave conversations they would have at this radio station. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of facets of comedy that just seems like it's going away. Yeah. But one of them is that when it's a person who has a natural ability to be funny without even trying so hard, that Norm and Gilbert and those guys just added, it was effortless for those guys. And it's sad that we're looking at an era where comedy is not going to have that same feeling anymore. But, you know, thank you guys for listening as well on QF. Sometimes we go on tangents here, but it's cool.
Well, yeah, the Richard Pryor thing. I'll go put a little disclaimer and say, guys, skip ahead 5 minutes or whatever if you don't want to, like, just so you don't complain about it. Like, honestly, just that's what the 15-second thing is for. Press, 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 and then you'll be there. But I wanted to ask you also about, just real quick, the Norm's last special, which he did, of course, to himself, there's no audience. And then afterwards, they had Molly Shannon, Dave Chappelle, Spade, Letterman, Conan, and what's his name, Sandler, all sitting in a room talking about him. Didn't you get the same sense that I did, that Chappelle really legitimately loved Norm?
Oh yeah, that there was always that that respect, even when before he passed, he would always shout him out. Even when Chappelle would go on Wiggy, he would always give Norm a shout out. Norm was, anybody who didn't like Norm, it was because Norm didn't like them. Yeah. And Chappelle even mentioned it, and it was because that you were either jealous of Norm or you just weren't in the same class with him. Mm-hmm. And he thought the same way as well. But he was always helpful, open, and a participant to up-and-coming comedians. There was even talk of when Norm would help donate to certain up-and-coming comedians, like if they need a place to stay for the night and stuff, he would always help them out and such. He was always that kind of guy. So that's a void that's missing there with him not being around anymore. And his brother's actually funny too. His brother.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, his brother's actually a correspondent for Canada in the United States.
Well, I'll have to check that out. I know that one of my favorite things about Norm was at the end of the Wayne and Schuster show, which is a Canadian comedy duo. They had a bit of a name in the States at that time too, but they were really Canadian specific. And they did a dance. They sort of song and dance it, not mostly a song, very jazzy rendition of a farewell outro song on their show. When he had his short lived show where he interviewed Roseanne, it wasn't the Norm Macdonald Live, it was something else later where he had all these guests on, and he would try to do the Wayne and Schuster song, and it's actually kind of funny and poignant because clearly he was a fan and he loved it, and he was just doing it as a tribute. But it's a throwback to my childhood, and I thank him for that, because it's a little thing, but it's those little things that comics do that mean so much to everybody else. So we love all you guys, and hope you're all doing well, staying warm, getting warmer, and not having to shovel out jack shit wherever you are.
Yeah, you should look up my balcony here. It's like an inch of snow out there.
Perfect. Take care, guys. We love you.
That's expression.
I care about the right to shove an eel up a girl's vagina.
Yeah, in China, they can't videotape a woman getting shot up. Coyote fucking. That's what we have. Why did we fight the Revolutionary War? I think it's obvious. So a woman can fuck a moose. And the patrons of Oxford. England under King George never had moose fucking. But we grew.